I felt like the Lord wanted for us to talk about that just for a little bit, and then this is going to bring us into what I feel the Lord is speaking to us as a church body. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, we had a thing on the Jewish feast, so I've already talked about some of that, and what you hopefully remember is that the Feast of Trumpets is the first day of the seventh Jewish month of Tishri, and it's a Sabbath month. It starts out in a very solemn day, and this day is a day that begins a period of time to the Jews, and should be reflective to us to see that even though they do this at one particular time, this should be something that we reflect on at this time, but that it carries over through the rest of the year. And that is, this is the beginning of what the Jews call the 10 days of awe. And it is a time of spiritual preparation, of repentance, of looking to God, and it's a time where they recognize that there is spiritual warfare, that there is an enemy to their souls, and that there needs to be a binding of this enemy. This is what the Feast of Trumpets has at its core, at its essence. And though the Jews celebrate it for a 10-day period, I'm hoping that we can have something where we do something for 10 days here, some strong prayer time. I'll talk about it here in a minute. But that this becomes something for us to move into a greater prayer life. We've talked about this on numerous occasions, a greater prayer life for us, because, like our brother said, you don't have to look too far to see what's going on in the world. And the amount of lies and just plain evil that is growing and pushing. Evil is relentless. It doesn't just give up when you push back a little bit. And I think God is preparing His people to be people that are exercised in prayer to the point that we're actually going to see some kind of greater deliverances than we have in the past.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but
amen.
I'm very tired of many of the hindrances that I see happening, not only within in the community, but in the actual churches themselves.
Amen.
And there are reasons for this, and this is going to be addressed today as well. You know, I wrote down while we were singing the song, you know, let me see. Oh yeah. 10,000 Reasons. It says, sing like never before. Right?
Yeah.
You know, you sing those words, and hopefully it does something inside to you. And you go, yeah, I'm just going to let go. I'm going to let go more. I'm going to give God more of who I am. And it doesn't have to be with noise, but it does have to be with an internal giving over of ourselves to praise God because of His worthiness.
Amen.
Yeah? We believe that, don't we?
Yes.
I hope it's yes.
Hallelujah!
You know?
Yes.
To let go. Not in a crazy way. I'm not talking about, you know, too crazy. Because you can overdo things too, can't you? in the name of God, you can overdo things. So it's important that we that it's spirit-led, that there's an intensity that we draw on, because I'm telling you what, the enemy is pushing back with an intensity. He wants to smother you and I. Get us so that we're just, I just hope I can get through the day. Right? Have our minds so that we're depressed about this or depressed about that or confused or just downtrodden, no direction, no vision of what's going on or who we really are as a group of people, as individuals that are the sons of the King. How much do you think that has already squeezed in on your head and robbed you and I of who we are and what He wants to do in and through you? Well, we really can be just like the world, controlled by the thoughts and impressions that come off the TV or off of the intellectual world of college or what you see on the news, and it can affect you. Oh, I can't. I better not say anything because somebody might think of me as being intolerant or too much for Jesus. Right? There's something that really has to break out in our hearts. Amen? And the Feast of Trumpets is a good place for this to start, because this is what this whole feast is about, is self-reflection, looking at those things within that really hinder us. Many of the things that hinder the church, we can just turn around and look at ourselves.
Amen.
We're hindering things. Yes, it's the enemy, but we're not taking our rightful place of authority, or we don't believe the way that we need to believe. We believe. Help our unbelief, Lord. Isn't that true? Yeah. And, you know, it's about time that we shake this off.
Yes.
And you've heard me talk like this before. I have to shake it off. I leave here, I go home, and I have all the stuff that I have to do for college and work around the house, and we have our friends coming from Alaska this coming week, and Kathy's sick, and hopefully she'll be over that before Amy and Jason arrive. That's their names. And they have a daughter, Jordan, that's going to be with them. And I hope that you really give them a great welcome. Like I think I've mentioned before, they've heard many of your voices because they listen to the messages online, and they know who some they know a name that goes with voices. So I'm kind of interested to see how well she and Jason do with that. But, you know, there's a lot going on, and I can get distracted, and I can get overworked, and I can forget to pray more and be more disciplined in my life that way. And I know that that's how it is with you guys, too. Nobody here is going to pretend that you're some great, grand spiritual person. Everybody in here is human, and you and I have to deal with that. But the thing that we have to do is to push past it. I like what you had to say, you know, because, you know, you have to contend. We have to push past the thoughts that want to divide us from one another or to get us so that we can't function the way that we need to, that we are giving in to thoughts of, oh, I don't feel like praying right now. I'll do it some other time. Oh, I'll do it another time. Or somebody comes into your mind, but you don't have time to stop and pray. We've got to change this. If the church is going to be an effective, strong church, we as individuals have to change. If we're satisfied with life just the way it is, I hope there's nobody that's like that in here. You know? We've got to be content with certain things. But when it comes to spiritual matters, we have to throw off this smothering spirit that wants to hold you in a natural human place, that doesn't allow you to go out, get out beyond who you are in the natural sense. All of us, not just somebody that's a pastor. Every single person, if we're going to defeat and bind that hand of the enemy, and this is part of what this whole thing of Trumpets is all about, is to bind the hand of the enemy.
Yes.
Would you raise your hands if you believe that we need to bind the hand of the enemy in this place, in this community?
Nation, world.
World, nation, world.
Everywhere.
There is a great need, you know? And I think that part of that smothering spirit is, what can I do? Or, well, it's too big. It's too big for me. Yeah, but it's not too big for God. And you know something? Wherever two or three are gathered together, there He is. And if He's there, wow.
Yes. Amen.
And I just want to say, sometimes I think that the church moves in a level of unbelief that is not good. We believe in Him as Savior. But you know what? The sins that so easily beset us, the things that we can just very easily just kind of, oh well, you know, everybody sins and I'm just human. That's not the attitude that people, that the church at the end of the age is supposed to have. We need to contend for the faith. And that's an everyday thing. That's not just when you hear it on a Sunday. This is an everyday thing that somehow has to get into our minds. And it has to get from there down into our hearts. And I'm talking about me too. I'm not coming from some grand spot. I find myself falling short a lot.
Why you ask?
But right now, I'm kind of sick of myself. And I really, I'm praying that you're sick of yourselves for continuing to fall back into old habits, old thoughts, opening up to the same kind of spirits that can easily take us to places of sin. I know that there's nobody in here that wants it to be that way. But I've said before, Jesus doesn't put a magic wand on your head. We make choices. His power will bring us to victory. But we have to agree. We have to connect with Him. It's His righteousness, not ours. And we have to connect with Him in a greater way. We have to say, no. And how many times have we said this before? Sometimes you've got to say that out loud. No. I'm not putting up with this. I'm not going to be passive in the way that I approach the Lord. You know, this 10-day period is supposed to be a time of repentance. I'm asking you from, and I believe it's the Spirit of God, please, every single day, for 10 days anyway, can we do this? For 10 days, let's see what kind of spiritual power can really just happen. Because we're committed as a group of people to that. Amen? And to prayer. That's not going to happen without prayer.
Yes.
We need to be, what's Jesus say? My house is a what? A house of prayer.
Yes.
This is what He expects.
And it ain't happening either.
And we need this.
Why is that?
In our lives. I need it. I need to have that grow in my life.
Yes.
And but you know what? I think, I do a lot of praying. Come on, let's not get, I know there's only 24 hours in a day. I wonder, you know, and don't raise your hand if you're one of these. You pray more than 2 hours a day, or an hour a day, or even a half an hour at one time a day. You know? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? There's room. Every single one of us has some room to allow that to grow. Right?
Yes.
Because the enemy is coming in like a flood. There are sicknesses and breakups in marriages, and there's all kinds of things that happen to people, and then they and then trying to get up above that and to get themselves so that they see what's going on in their life. It's crazy, isn't it? There are people that sicknesses have wiped out their spiritual walk. Number one, because they can't come to church, some of them. And I go, the other, I forget what day it was. Sometime this past week, I woke up at, what was that? 11:30. I think it was 11:30 this particular night. I woke up at 11:30. And normally, I just turn over and go back to sleep. But something didn't seem right. And so I said, God, do you want me up? And I heard a very clear yes. I went out and done. So I got up and I went out into the living room, and I have my favorite little chair, and I knelt down, and all of a sudden God just poured out His Spirit on me, and I was crying for people that have these infirmities that are really just devastating to them. And I'm thinking, why don't I have this intensity more often? And that bothered me. So I'm asking God, this is one of the things I'm repenting of. Being so passive. Being so, I recognize things, and then, you know, sometimes I can just throw out a prayer that's very quick. Because I know I should be praying for somebody, but I want to get past it so I can do what I want to do. I'm sorry, I'm just burying myself here to you. But I think that all of us are like this. The church is being trampled on. The church is hindered in so many ways, but I think it's mostly our own fault. The enemy can do what he wants to do because we're not doing what we need to do. When it comes to sin, when it comes to contending for the things that we need to through prayer and intercession and reaching out and encouraging one another more, reading our Bible so that we understand what's going on. I'm afraid that squeezing kind of spirit just wants us to bounce through life and go the way of all flesh when it's our time, like every, you know, just like all the other generations. There's more that Jesus wants us to do.
Amen.
You know, Jesus.
Come on now.
Jesus says, told Gideon. I'll use Gideon as an example. Jesus tells Gideon he says, "You go out and fight the Midianites. I'll be with you." You know what a lot of Christians want? God will do it.
Oh.
God will do it. Yeah, and it's His power. It's Him doing it. We can't do anything on our own, but when we are given a direction and vision from the Lord, of course we've got to get that too, then we need to step out ourselves with that vision and do, don't we? I want us to be, I'm hoping that this message just will stir you up. And not just for today. I need this to be stirred up in me, not just for today. All right, would you open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5? You know what happens even right now while I'm talking about this, and I feel like I've been given this from the Lord, this is a message for all of us from Jesus, is that there's even a spirit right now trying to hinder you to grabbing a hold of this with some gusto. Right? So we bind that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can you agree?
Yes.
Because if we're in agreement, there's more power there, isn't there?
Amen.
There's power in agreement. That's why it's good to pray not only by yourself, but with others. And the enemy doesn't want us doing that. If there's anything that the enemy has come against any of the church about, is prayer. Because there's power there. How's that scripture go? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man only goes a little bit?
Nope.
Oh, no, it doesn't say it that way, does it? What's it say?
Powerful and effective.
It avails much.
It avails much, right?
Yes.
And then we look and we say, well, I've been praying for such and such for a long time, and I don't see God answering the prayer. Well, I'll tell you what, it isn't because of God. Most of the time. Sometimes He's holding off for some reasons, but a lot of the times we just go to God when we need Him to do something for us. And then we don't, and then it's business as usual until we need God again. That's not a good relationship, is it? I'm so sick of myself right now.
It's okay.
Maybe you're sick of me too.
All right, so Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to, you know, part of this thing with the Feast of Trumpets is that we're to awake to righteousness. That's part of what it is. To see our personal faults, pray to God, repent, and ask God to prepare us for what He wants what He wants more to do in our lives.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
So here in Ephesians 5, and then the other part of Trumpets is this contending against the enemy of our souls. So Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6 deal with both of these. One right in back of the other. So, verse 14 of Ephesians 5. Therefore, he says, awake you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We don't even realize how wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked we really are in a lot of areas of our life. I want to also say, just in case you think I'm browbeating myself and you, there's a lot of good things that have transpired in every single one of our lives too. But when Jesus goes and talks to the churches in the book of Revelation, he doesn't only talk positive things to them. He says positive, but he says, well, I got a few things against you too. And you need to change in those areas. And the Spirit of God speaks to us on an individual basis where he encourages us where we need to be encouraged. But he also says, Malcolm, you're coming up short in this area. Right? And I need to be awake. I need the light of Christ to shine in those areas that I don't even know are dark. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, we've missed out on being a much more effective kind of group of people as a church. But you know what? Jesus can redeem that time.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Hallelujah.
He can make up for the time that the canker worm has eaten and all that wasted time, all of that off into sin, being distracted, ignorant about what's really going on in life, being caught up by the things of the world and missing something that God has for us as individuals and a group of people. Because there's grand, great things here at the end of the age. And God needs a group of people that have it worked in them. It isn't going to be magic wand on us. He's looking for that group of people that say, yes, here I am, send me.
Amen.
And that sending doesn't mean that we're going out preaching all over the place necessarily. Maybe it's with family members. Maybe it's in some other kind of a context. But God, and to minister to one another here. Gosh, we need that. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's going to produce a really great thing, isn't it?
Amen.
And prayer is right at the heart of this. All right, now just jump over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Because this is the thing about binding the enemy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the strategies of the devil. And boy, he's a smart little cookie. But make no mistake, if he can, he'll find a way to devour you and I. He's looking to rob and steal from you your joy, your family. And in any way that he can bring you and I down, he's going to try. That's the enemy that we face. And if you want to put your head in the sand and say, oh, I'm just protected by Jesus. Well, that's the starting point. But Jesus wants you and I to get our head up out of the sand and face an enemy in the power and might of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Don't let this overwhelm you. Because we have Jesus.
Amen.
Don't we? And he goes on and talks about, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of the darkness. And he goes on and he talks about all the different armaments that we're supposed to have. And then verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And that gets us right back to, again, Feast of Trumpets. Where it should be a time of prayer and repentance, supplication to the Lord, and in the process of that, God's going to show us things in that repentance time where we're going to need to then bind the hands of the enemy. You know, if we don't do that, it doesn't get done. Do you understand this? A lot of things don't happen in a church because the church isn't doing what it's supposed to do.
Amen.
We have every power at our disposal. And we will and can defeat the enemy and be victorious in all things. But the church isn't in a lot of ways because we don't see that we are to step into that and walk in that. We just want Jesus to magically do something for us. And Jesus does that work as we step into that work. Isn't that funny how that works? So, Jude, beginning in verse 3. Talks about contending for the faith. So that's at the heart of the of what I want to say. And I feel it's from Jesus. That we need, as a group, to contend. Because the enemy's going to throw everything he can at you and me to keep us from a commitment that we would even make today amongst ourselves to pray. Can we do that? Do you think we can? You make that prayer to God. You know, half an hour, 10 minutes, an hour, and then commit yourself to it. See what you feel that you can do. Push out beyond the boundary of what you can do. Now, in years past, we used to have 10 days of prayer by the churches, our group of Unity churches, that corresponded to the 10 days of awe. But it's not happening this year. And it didn't get set up. It's not going to happen. So I would really want a prayer covering, a prayer cloud, incense just going up to God in a very strong way for our country,
for our individual lives, for the church as a whole to rise up. At least, and there's so many places we can go in our prayers for that. Don't think that there's only a few things you can pray about. You know, there's a lot of things for us to be prayerful about. Or you and I might see freedoms disappearing in this nation. You and I might still be caught in sins that could really hurt us down the line, or attitudes that we might have. The church, instead of coming forth and evangelizing the world the way we need to, is watered down because we're not strong the way we need to be. We need to have the salt of the word, don't we? In a much greater way. It's our fault. I accept it. I accept it. I hope you accept it. And say, on an individual basis, every single one of us can grow in this way.
Amen. Right?
So, I don't know how we might want to do that. Anybody that lives up in Milan, if you want to come in for here and use the church, get together. People in Gorham, maybe we can get together in houses, or maybe it can just be on a personal, home by home thing. But talk to one another and let the Holy Spirit just kind of lead us in the way that we should go. I don't know if it has to be so organized, but what does have to happen is you and I make a greater commitment to prayer, to repentance, to break this smothering spirit that has come on our country, has come on the church, has come on ourselves, and let's see some things break.
Yes.
We need to break out of what's there. And if you don't see what I'm talking about, pray to God to show you. Because it's there. Are there other people that realize that this is happening and that we need this very thing for our lives right now, for our families, for ourselves as individuals, for our families, for this church, for the greater church, for our nation, for the world? Grand things. If there's supposed to be some great harvest, and the church isn't ready, if all we think we're going to do is live a simple life and go out and save people for Jesus, it's not going to work. We've got to have light inside of us. We've got to be disciples ourselves if we're going to bring... Jesus didn't say, go make believers out of everybody. He said, go make disciples of the nations.
There we go.
So, we're not bringing people to be disciples if we're not disciples, if we're not disciplined, if we don't have a real prayer life. And then you can be saying right now, well, I don't care. Who cares? Who wants to do that? I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. All true. But you're going to miss out. I don't want to miss out. Because I want to experience that presence of Jesus.
Yes.
Right? Lord, I pray today for me and my family, for this church family, for the church, for this world, Lord, that we would commit ourselves, be disciplined, at least through these 10 days, to pray, to seek your face and repent as you show us things. That we bind, that we stand together and bind the hand of the enemy. Jesus, bring us together as you want us to be brought together. In localities, up here at this church building, Lord, however you design it through these 10 days, Lord, that we would be committed to this. And Lord, that we would talk to one another and encourage one another through this time of prayer and repentance. That we could be truly used by you.
Amen.
I thank you, God, today. You're a God that loves us and desires to move in us and through us, Lord. I thank you today. Mighty Savior and Master. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.